This has been an amazing privilege for us. And I can feel such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. And there are so many things I could say. First of all, I would like to thank all of the young people who have been having Sunday school. I felt such confidence walking both of my grandchildren, and we were singing, "We're going to Sunday school, we're going to Sunday school." And they could not wait to get inside to see all their little friends. I can't wait to hear them tell the story of where they've been and what they've heard. You should know that Tegan, who's the three-year-old, will get on YouTube. Do you know the little song? Johnny Finger, Daddy Finger, where are you? She listens to this in every language. And sometimes she will come to us and say, we're never going to know when she gets the Holy Ghost. Because she's been practicing speaking in tongues for a long time. So she's been absorbing when you speak in your native language. I have no idea what's going to come out of that child's mouth. But I have a feeling that somewhere during that 25-hour plane ride home, I'm going to hear all kinds of things. Thank you for letting us be part of your family, to celebrate a family event with Sean and Adora, whom we love, to meet Stanley, to meet your mom, to almost meet your parents, Sister Lee, to share laughter, tears, joy, burdens, victories. Your pastor has been so good to let us know about the status of the building, the status of struggles. I am so thrilled. Are Shankar and Soundram here this morning? Where are they? Wave your hands to me. We fell in love with them immediately. It's like walking into Singapore is like stepping into heaven's treasure chest and seeing the crown jewels in every color. I've seen rubies and sapphires and diamonds, and you are so profoundly impacting us to see what God is doing in people around the world is amazing. And I want to thank you for the privilege of opening your hearts to us so we can give to you what God has given us, that you might be fully furnished temples, so that you have everything, the brazen altar, the laver, the tent of separation. We do look different. There's a barrier between us. There's a reason for that. So people do not profanely enter into a relationship with us. There's a line. Everybody, all the Philistines, everybody could see that linen stretched on poles from a distance. There was a barrier. And then to get into that inner place, I want you to listen to me. The holy place is where you retreat to let the Lord minister to you. It's inside yourself. When you're wrestling with yourself, you go and take your wayward thoughts. The Bible said, Caitlin referred to it, casting down imaginations. So this means while you're following Jesus, you're going to have thoughts that are going to hit you so hard. And the Bible said, you cast them down, because if you're not careful, they will rise up. Listen, casting down imaginations sounds like they're on a pedestal, doesn't it? When you put your thoughts, my daughter Sheena was saying in my ear the whole time Kate was preaching, you cannot judge motives, you cannot judge motives, you cannot judge motives, you cannot say their motive for. My husband, that has been his mantra to us. You cannot assign motives to people. You can observe their actions, but you're not God, and you can't get in their head and say why they did what they did. Don't go there. because those thoughts tend to be negative because there's no light in me without Jesus. I was born dark. So that means everything I see through my disconnection with God. When you get in that holy place, and you feel thoughts, and well, you can't even get in there if you've got those thoughts. They've got to go be burned on the brazen altar first. You can't get in. You can't get in. You just sit there and you sulk and pout and offended. You say, well, I'm going through a trial. I shared with someone here the loss of my grandmother, and I don't want to overemphasize because I want my children to deliver to you what their parents have taught them and what they got from the Holy Ghost. I want you to hear what it sounds like from 29, 31, and 34. I want you to hear it. So you know it's not just 61 and 60 talking. Okay? I want you to understand it's relevant to you. Married or single? We got married, we got single, grandparents. When those thoughts come against you about you, and you're going to hear information coming from three different sources about your life, its worth, and its significance. First of all, you're going to hear things in your culture. People are going to say things. They're going to judge you because they don't have any light. All they have is what they think. And the Bible said, the prince and the power of the air rules over the children of disobedience. They are children of wrath. So if your parents aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, I know you want them to nourish you. I wish they would, but these are your parents. Where, brother, sister, Cargando, these are your parents. If you're part of this church, these are the people that are going to nourish you. If your mom and dad don't have the Holy Ghost, they can't speak a word of faith to you. They don't have any. There's no light. Which is why the laver, when we kind of bump up against each other and someone goes, ooh, you got an attitude, that's not to hurt you, that's to wash you. Jesus said, you're all going to be offended. Let me wash your feet. He washed them before they abandoned him. And he said, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but the last thing you're going to need to remember about me is that I took your dirty foot and washed it, because when you abandon me, you're going to hate yourselves. And you're going to deal with such guilt. But I want you to remember that I washed you before you denied me. Before you left me, I said, give me your foot, because I'm not going to leave you. Now, there are some of us in here that have failed God over and over again. And for those of us that are coming back to God after being disobedient to parents or disobedient to the church or failing our own standards, you're going to live with some guilt. The devil's going to get up every day and remind you. You're going to see in living color everything you did. When you come into church, you're going to have a temptation because of your natural instinct to feel shame and guilt. You're going to feel the inclination to hang your head. There's blood for that. None of us, even those of us that weren't disobedient to parents and never left, I might as well have left. There are times when my heart is so far from God. The altar is God's gift to me so I can take out the trash. What do you do with your trash? Trashy thoughts. I can't judge motives. When people hurt me, when there's a betrayal, my grandmother, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, wound up in a nursing home in the middle of Palm Desert, California, because the unsaved family wouldn't let my dad take her and build a house for her, and they promised they'd take care of her. Do you think they took care of her? No. I took Sheena and Siobhan when Siobhan was 6 months old. I said, I want Siobhan to have a picture with her great-great-grandmother. She'll never know her. But I want a picture, and I want to say, this was your grandma. Your grandmother was filled with the Holy Ghost. I take a five-hour flight to California with a six-month-old baby and a nursing mother. get in a car and drive 2 hours and check into a motel and get up in the morning with joy. My husband has taken hours because my grandmother is starting to descend into a little Alzheimer's. She can't really remember, but she knows my dad, her firstborn child. And so my husband puts together a calendar, and he puts together family pictures. He puts pictures of all of us, and he says, take this tour and show her the pictures. It'll help her remember. And I walk in, and my grandmother is wearing other people's clothes. She's got other people's blankets because that family that promised to take care of her didn't. My beautiful grandmother that had church clothes and always had her hair wonderful, she doesn't even look like the woman that I left. I called my husband sobbing. I said, Lucy doesn't have anything. He said, take the credit card and go get her everything she needs. Slippers, pajamas, bobby pins for her hair, toothbrush. When I walked in, she had come to David and Sheena's wedding years ago and admired our Bible, and my husband said, I'm going to buy her a Bible. She adored him. That's because he treated her like the treasure she was. I went and bought everything I could find. I said, Lucy, there was a little piano. What can I play for you? I'll Fly Away. I'd sing I'll Fly Away, and then I'd say, Lucy, what can I play for you? I'll Fly Away. I flew away for 35 minutes. What do you want to hear, Lucy? I'll Fly Away. I got in the car with Sheena and the baby, and the moon was over the desert. I kissed her goodnight. I had combed her hair. She looked like a Pentecostal apostolic when I left. I kissed her goodnight. She said, oh, thank you, honey. And that little Bible we had given her, worn down, torn, she'd write in it and underline it, holding on. I get in the car and tears are rolling down my cheeks because I know I'm not coming back. She doesn't know it. I didn't tell her, Lucy, this is it. I got home. Now, I've got all kinds of thoughts. I'm being bombarded. First of all, I'm very angry at my unsaved family. And then there's warring in me, but you've got to forgive. And then my head is flying because I've got a daughter who's just had her first child. I remember my grandmother when I was little praying. What am I going to do? Casting down imaginations. I imagine she's going to perish there. I imagine nobody's going to take care of her. And all the way I'm driving away and I feel like I'm leaving my own child behind in the desert alone, and the Lord's talking to me. Who do you think you are? And who do you think has been taking care of her before you got there? I get home and I'm in deep depression because I feel an emotional connection that somebody needs to take care of her in a way that is equal to her worth. She doesn't deserve to be treated like that. You see what I'm saying? I would have taken her home and cherished her. My mom and dad would have treated her like a queen. But there was such a warfare coming from this side to that side, the unsaved family, that my father just had to take her back and give them to her and let her go. And I wasn't doing well with that. I'm the eldest grandchild. I had to get down on my knees because what are you doing? My thoughts are taking me all over the map. My husband got me, and Janice, listen to me. You are a wife and a mother and a grandmother and a pastor of a church. You cannot carry this weight. You have to choose. If you continue down this road, you will have to give us up. For Lucy, you're going to have to choose. I said, I don't know how to choose. And Jesus spoke to me through Paul. Because Paul got up every day of his life. I know why he said, this one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind. Because you know what I think Paul saw every day he got up? I think he saw Stephen kneeling down, crying out, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to your charge. Into thy hands, oh Lord, I commit my spirit. Every time I read it, I bawl. There's a young man, a single, a hyphen, never had a wife, never had kids, being stoned to death by a man who thinks he's doing great. Talk about motives. Talk about thoughts. Why am I telling you this? You need a holy place inside of you, and you can't get in there until you cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. We said last night, stand up if you don't mind. We said the providence of God already saw your sins, your failures, your grandma, your grandpa. He already made provision. He already did it. So you have to let go. And the Lord said, let go, Janice. And Paul said, lay aside every weight. Lucy's not a sin. She could be. I don't know how to get her off my mind. I love her. I cherish her. I can't go forward and I can't go back. I'm stuck. And Paul said, it took me 3 days of weeping to get this. I mourned in the floor. I cried till I just couldn't get over it. You know, when people go, get over it. I'm like a dog with a bone. I can't. That same Paul who said, I forget what's behind. See that young man's face? He probably got up and cried every morning, and the Lord didn't give him amnesia. He said, Paul, you're going to have to forget it. Come on, forget about it. You've got work to do for me. So every morning, Paul would have to burn that memory on the altar. Let someone tell him, Paul, we need you. You're a blessing. Thank you. And go into the holy place where he got fresh bread. Yeah. Illumination, and wrote it down to us in prison. In prison, everyone say in prison, didn't have it easy. And that same Paul said, I know in whom I have believed that he is able to keep that which I have committed to his care until the day of Jesus Christ. So I got on my face and said, Jesus, I would have brought Lucy home with me. And I would, how is it that I'm treating everybody else's grandma? I'm taking care of all these elderly people while my own grandmother is 1,000 miles away. It's not fair. Cast it down.
Amen.
Against the knowledge of a providential God. He said, you, Janice, this is not about Lucy and your family. This is about Lucy and me. You either believe that I love Lucy and I know where she is and I can take care of her and you come serve me. That's why he told the prophets and the priests, you don't cut yourself for anybody and you can only mourn for your wife, your children, your brother, your sister, your mother, and your father. You don't mourn for anybody else. And he told Ezekiel, I'm not going to let you mourn at all. Your wife is going to die by the end of the day. Get up. Aaron's sons, one sinned. Those two boys sinned, but Ezekiel's wife didn't sin. The Lord's word was the same to Aaron as it was to Ezekiel. Get up and serve me. Say, that's hard. God is greater than my mourning. God is greater than my failure. You say, you don't know what I did when I was out there. You take that mess to the brazen altar. The Lord chose you because you're precious to him. So I knelt down, cupped my hands, and put Lucy in them and said, Jesus, I'm asking you to keep her for me. Whatever that means, I'm asking you to keep her for me. I went through a period where I had to get a little offended at God, and I'm going to tell you the end of that story. But before I do, my children are getting ready to come up, and Sheena's going to talk about the altar of incense. I want you to put the picture back up again. the altar of incense, inside that you have to have a place where you go, God, you are more important than that person that hurt my feelings. I'm going to burn not the person, but my feelings. I'm going to burn my offense. I'm hurt. Sister Shostrand, do you get hurt? I get hurt all the time. I am like a supersonic, sensitive everything. So every day, I always have something to bring to the altar. Every day, I have to burn up my personal feelings. I just go, God, that hurts so bad. This hurts. I make my confession at the altar, my private altar. Lord, I'm in so much pain right now. I don't think I can take it much more. There are people who don't want to hear a word coming out my mouth. I'm leading people who don't want to be led. I'm dealing with them. They're not sheep. They're goats. They've got horns, and they keep headbutting me. Can I get a witness? Not everything that comes to church loves God. There's a messenger of Satan to buffet me every day of my life. I have to choose between that, and I have a duty. But I take my feelings, my anger, my bitterness, whatever it is. Sometimes you have to bring the ugly to God as well as the beautiful, and I take whatever stands between us and burn it there. My husband will put his arm around my shoulder and say, Jan, you can come on. Come on, you got to get over it. Don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. The Lord said that to Samuel. Samuel, they just called you old and said your children aren't like you. Don't take it personally. Yeah. Oh, right. You just looked at me and said, you're kind of old. You're irrelevant now. You're past the age of retirement. Sit down. Shut up. And he said, it's not about you, Samuel. They rejected me. Go on. Keep going, Samuel. So when you are weighted down, you take it to that altar. Put up the tabernacle first. There has to be an altar in you. Say, an altar in me. There has to be a laver in you. Say, a washing in me. You're either going to get it from an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher. The word's going to come, but it's going to be the people in intimate relationship with you that are going to wash your feet and talk you out of the mood you're in or the thought you're in. Let them do it. And then inside that place, David said, there's a table of bread. Got to eat bread. Jesus, I've gotten over myself. Feed me. Talk to me. Not my will. Thine be done. Lord, open my eyes from a golden candlestick. And then, and I'm going to ask Sheena to come, there's an altar of incense where once you've gotten over yourself, and I want you to listen to me, when you can't get to the altar, you can't get into the holy place. But there is an unseen life in God. And that altar of incense is where you burn something sweet to the Lord. You're not fighting yourself anymore. It's not about you anymore. You're not examining, look at me, look at my status, look at my, because if you can't get over that, you don't even know what I'm talking about. I might as well be saying, because you don't understand what I'm saying. But when you've cast down imaginations, every high thing, and brought into captivity every thought to what? I am going to obey like Jesus did. I am going to do it if it kills me. I'm going to do it. I have got to have you, Jesus. Even Lucy can't stop me. Even my sorrow over my family can't stop me. Even my sorrow over my sins can't stop me. I'm going to get to you. I'm going to get to you. I'm going to get. Would you lift your hands right now? Jesus, we come into your holy presence. We come before you. We are getting ready to burn sweet incense. Anoint your vessel. Lord, we have to have a place inside of us where we burn sweet cane and sweet cinnamon. Would you lift your hands and lift your voice? Jesus, put an altar of incense in me. Put it in me, Lord. Put it in me, Lord. Put it inside of me, Jesus. Put it in me. Let me lay down everything so I can minister to you and you can minister to me.